Appreciate y'all hanging around for this particular presentation. Being the last one of the day, I kind of was thinking I was going to stand up here and look. Mike Brewer at the start of this session this morning talked quite a bit about the Verde plant bug that we have in South Texas, and he alluded to some of the problems that we have with it, as well as with stink bugs. And so, you got to set the timer for me?
Okay, you can take all that. <laughs> No way.
All right. So this is kind of adds on to some of the work that he's done. A lot of his stuff was done in field cages and things of that nature. And I did my work just simply in a grower's field. These are some of the stink bugs. These are not my pictures. The internet's real grateful to let me get some pictures of the various stink bugs that we see in the South Texas area, whether it's the green, the southern green. We have three or four brown species that we have. Sometimes we get the Consuela coming in from the west, and also the Thianta species. As we've talked about previously, the stink bugs are real hard to scout as far as finding this insect itself. It's a seed feeder, and we can find evidence of its feeding with the warts on the inside of the bowl. The Mid-South and the Southeast have done a lot of work in the past 10, 15, 20 years, I guess, looking at the evidence of feeding based on the 1-inch bowls and the 20% evidence of feeding. And here recently, you guys have come up with the dynamic threshold. We talked yesterday about this card with Dr. Batchelor receiving his award. I think he was one of the guys that was quite influential in coming up with this tool. We've begun to use it in South Texas as well. The difference is that we've never actually verified this to work in Texas, and that's really kind of what I started to try to do. Add on to that the problem with having the Verde plant bug, that this is the insect. It's about a half inch long as an adult, and the flea hopper, the nymphs are similar to a flea hopper, except they're quite a bit larger, and they have, if you look at the nymph up here, you'll see some stippling on the antenna, and that's one of the ways that we distinguish it from flea hopper nymphs in the field. It feeds in a very similar way to the stink bug. A lot of times it will feed on the squares as well, and the smaller bowls, smaller than what a stink bug I think will feed on. But the feeding injury on the inside of the bowl is not distinguishable from a stink bug, and so I was concerned that that might be a problem in using a 20% evidence of feeding threshold. These are much easier to find in a field than a stink bug, and so we can do field scouting for these, which we do. So my objectives were twofold. First, I wanted to try to verify this economic threshold of that was developed in the southeast of the 20% evidence of feeding. Mostly to try to see if that worked with the stink bugs, and then also to see if we could use that same threshold for the Verde plant bug, because they're both causing the same type of feeding in the field. So we had just a kind of a simple field test where we had the untreated, we had an automatic weekly applications that we started at first bloom. All of my applications were an 8-ounce Bidron application. I was making the assumption that was going to be adequate for controlling whatever insect we had out there. We had the 20% evidence of feeding, and I threw in a 50% evidence of feeding just on a just basically to have another treatment out there to see to compare it to. Put out with a ground sprayer, and we had 6-row plots that were 45 foot long. In 2012, our trial was going along as planned, and then the fourth week of bloom, we started getting rainfall, and it rained like every 3 days for the rest of the next 2 weeks, basically, and so we had to cut it short. But we were able to do the automatic treatments for the first 3 weeks, I believe. And then in 2013, we had five automatic treatments of bloom. Bloom was a little delayed because the cotton was planted a little bit later this past year than the previous year, and so the period of bloom was a little shorter than it was in 2012. This right here is showing what our evidence of internal feeding is for the two different years. In 2012, when we sampled the field with a drop cloth, we were capturing both the Verde plant bug and the green stink bugs. But in 2013, we were not catching stink bugs in many of our fields in the Port Lavaca area. I didn't see very many stink bugs at all. But one of the interesting things that I saw in here, if you look right here, this is the first time that we made a this was the first week that we made applications in the field. But after we made an application to the 20% evidence of feeding, the next week those numbers actually went up instead of going down, which is what I assumed that they would do. And I thought that was kind of an odd deal. But then it repeated itself again in this past year, where we made an application of Bidrin, and the next week our numbers actually of damage or internal feeding actually went up in the field. Compare that to the untreated, to the automatic treatment, where our numbers slowly increased, but they stayed pretty well below threshold. This was treated the 7 days prior to this count, and that's the same case in this one here. When we look at yield, it really kind of gets confounded. I was told by one of my other IPM agents in the area that if you really want to mess up a insecticide trial, then take yield. So we did that, and the automatic weekly treatments appears to be somewhat more effective, and really kind of what my thought on this is probably the key application is that one at early bloom, which may have taken out the Verde plant bugs that we weren't accounting for, just waiting until we got large enough bowls to sample for 20% evidence of feeding. There's no letters up here because there's not really any statistical difference. There's not in 2013, there was no differences between these yields, and in 2012, this one was different, but that was actually an untreated plot because we never did get into the field to treat it because of rainfall. So in results, the 20% evidence of feeding economic threshold, it didn't appear to protect our crop from yield losses, but it's really kind of difficult to come up with that assumption because the yields weren't really statistically different there. But I don't know that it's going to be helpful in helping us scout for these mixed populations where we have both the Verde plant bug and the stink bug in this field at the same time. I think it may confound things. Some of the stuff that Dr. Brewer showed earlier was that there may be the potential that the Verde does not cause as much yield loss on an insect-by-insect basis or based on how much feeding it does compared to the stink bugs. And that I think is going to be a problem for us when we try to scout for these insects. Anyway, this next year we're going to change our methods and try to look and include counts in there in addition to doing the 20% evidence of feeding, but we'll see where we can go with that. With that, that's the completion of my presentation. I appreciate y'all staying around.
And the completion of the session. Any question for Stephen?
In this trial right here, we were not necessarily taking, we were looking for presence or absence, so we were using a drop cloth. I think that really that's what I found to be most effective in the field is using that. It's kind of a pain to carry it around, but it's more effective than trying to do visual samples for sure. Some of the Brewer's work the previous years, he likes to use a beet bucket. And I don't like carrying a 5-gallon bucket through the field. So a drop cloth's either for me. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.